Ho.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey. Oh. Ho.
Let's go. Hey, right. We're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, and CFMU McMaster Radio.
Perfect.
Right. And I am Walter DeRaglia. I'm an Overstreet Price Guide advisor, if you didn't know. And
I am Chris Owen, professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Chris, that was seamless.
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 Speaking of seamless, we have Jackie Feldstein.
Producer extraordinaire.
To my right, your left.
My left, yes.
And welcome, Shecky.
Seamless. I'm seamless.
You
apparently.
Are. You know what? You're seamless. You know what? Of all the things I could describe you as, seamless is definitely one of them.
It's because they're pleats, actually, I've got on here. They're
is that what those
tracks.
Are?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Nice. All right.
It's a good look for you, Shecky.
Ah, thanks.
All right.
It's a good thing it's radio. That's all
good
I got
thing.
To say.
Yeah.
Chris, welcome back to another week of Comic Culture, the show that champions the local comic book shop.
I feel like I'm on a talk show. Welcome back to and here's Talking Comics with Walter and Chris. Today on Talking Comics, we're going to talk about comics.
Comics, yeah. Well, what we start the show with every week is comics that are hitting the local comic book shop today. Today
right.
being Wednesday,
right?
You and I want to. We want to basically all the listeners. We want to. What's the word? Corral.
Corral them.
Corral them.
We want to. We want to make sure that we have a consensus.
Consensus
for all of our listeners mm-hmm. that what we're talking about is good stuff
right.
for the most part.
Yeah, and for them to head into their local shops.
Yeah.
To check out the wares.
Exactly.
Especially the comics that are hitting the stands brand new today.
Brand.
And that's what you are about to talk about, isn't it?
Well, I am. You know what?
Thank God.
I do want to talk about new comics, but I'm sure we have a sponsor from our good friend Shecky Feldstein over here.
I blew it already, didn't I?
You did, but yeah. That's okay. We can make a comeback.
Still time.
Yeah, yeah.
Come back, kid. Coming at you. All right. New this week, brought to you by Doctor Who, the only British show North Americans have loved since Mr. Bean.
Nice.
Very true.
You guys remember Mr. Bean?
Yeah, I remember.
I used to love Mr. Bean so much.
Yeah.
I love Mr. Bean.
He really put into television how funny something can be without using words.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? Now, is he like Charlie Chaplin did it all like silent?
Yes,
right?
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, he did.
And he
that's what his wife said too.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Charlie,
why aren't you saying anything?
Yeah. Charlie, put that cane away.
Wait,
all right,
caner. All right, we're getting way off topic.
Way off.
Okay, listen. What were we gonna say about Charlie Chaplin? You know, here's the thing about.
I don't got a clue.
Didn't
what we're talking
give you
about.
Time, Walt. You let him tell you what he thinks about Charlie Chaplin.
Hey, here's the thing about comics. So yeah. you're gonna talk about
Charlie Chaplin
Mr.
is funny.
Mr. Bean.
By the way. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Bean. I'm sorry. Yeah, Mr.
Right.
Bean is funny.
So I want to know: are there any good British comedians out there anymore?
Ricky Gervais. Hilarious.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Absolutely hilarious.
Because for a while there, it was a lot of great British comedians.
Yeah, what was that Scottish guy? The guy with the curly hair.
Oh, the guy was in that show.
Goatee.
Yeah.
Something
like that. I'm sure he did Mick name.
Yeah, Mick, yeah.
Yeah.
McCavity.
Phil McCavity. Wasn't he a dentist?
Oh, woo! We are flying the singers today, aren't we, Chris?
Listen, no, because remember for a while there was Alan at large, Dave Allen,
yeah, love Dave
and
Allen.
Benny Hill, right? And then
mm-hmm.
you had like the two Steves or whatever those guys' names were, the two Ronnies,
yeah.
Right?
You're right,
and you know, so there's a long time of British comedians, and it mm-hmm. seems like they've
Scotty
kind of-
on Star Trek. He was funny. Isa,
I know what you're saying.
I kind of do Isa.
But you're right, Ricky Gervais. I forgot about him.
It's because North Americans now use like their street humor and stuff, so now everyone can be a comedian as long as they present themselves well,
right.
And land the right timing and the right punches and use the right cousins.
Right, cousins,
cousins.
Yeah. You know, I've got a second cousin. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah, cousin Vinny.
Yeah, my cousin Vinny.
All right. Anyway, let's move into your books that you got there, Chris.
Oh, right, so many books. Yeah.
Pile of books.
Well, you know what? The first one I want to talk about is The Punisher. This is El Diabolito.
El Diablo.
El Diabolito.
Oh, Diabolito.
Diabolito.
The devil's cousin.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is.
Right.
Yeah. This is by Kevin Maurer and Nathan Edmondson, writers, and penciled by Carmen Carnero. And I like the look of this book. They're in a totally different country. Pardon me. Sorry. I just like the way it's drawn. It's kind of got a gritty feel to it, and of course it's violent, like the way all Punisher comic books mm-hmm. are. It's even it's got a little bit of blood and gore into it, but you know what, I do like the book. It's a good book, as always, with Frank Castle as the Punisher.
All right, Ron. The Ron. Punisher number 7.
Like, you want to hurry this up over there?
Just give me my space, will you? I have to inform the listenership about where to get this book. The Punisher number 7 is available at your local comic book shop today.
All right, listen. Next up, we have now this is interesting. Now, Walt, you're a man of buying comics in the 70s and way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
how old are you trying to say he is?
Well, you know, I'm not. You know,
keep them guessing.
So, listen. They've got you remember Jack? You're a fan of Jack Kirby, right?
Mm.
Now Jack Kirby, back
Kirby
in
like the little pink thing that sucked in air and blew you.
No, not the Nintendo Kirby.
What blew you?
Jack Kirby, the king of comics. Not the little pink thing that apparently blows things.
My mistake.
I'm getting very confused.
Nintendo did that back in the day.
Okay.
Jack Kirby went to go work for DC for a while.
Yeah.
And while he was there, he came up with a comic, a bunch of characters called the Forever People.
I remember that, yes.
Okay, so they're bringing the Forever People back.
Mm.
And this is by Keith Giffen and Dan Didio. They're doing the story and the art. And Scott
Keith Giffen. Now, didn't he do... what's the...
He's done a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't know, but like...
whoa.
Hello. The New Mutants, maybe? Or
no.
Was it the League of Extraordinary...
No. Not even close.
No. What's the other one? The Superboy one. The Superboy
Legion
one.
Legion of Superheroes.
Legion of
yes,
Superheroes.
Yes, he did. Legion of Superheroes.
Okay, I know it was close,
he did
Chris.
Legion of Superheroes. He did Justice League.
Yeah.
Europe and all that. Now, listen. This book, they're doing a great job on trying to emulate Jack Kirby in his inking style, right? I mean, nobody can actually ever do the whole Jack Kirby thing.
I love this.
Yeah, you take a look at it. It's
Chris. You and I have talked about this before, I think. And the thing with Kirby was Kirby was probably the most prolific artist in comic book history.
Yeah,
if you count pages, if it's output in pages, mm-hmm. I doubt that there's an artist out there that has more pages produced than Jack Kirby.
How many years was he active?
Huh?
How many years was he
active?
He
was active from the 40s to the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I put 50-year career, but he just was able to produce so much.
Yeah, he was a workhorse, for sure.
But the thing with him was, and no disrespect to Alex Ross at all. I mean,
no.
his work is just stellar. It's
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah,
it's mind-boggling good, right? But his people and his Jack Kirby's art is dynamic.
Yes,
there's movement on the page when Jack Kirby draws, whereas say like an Alex Ross is kind of static. Image,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so Kirby was just able to express, I don't know, like he was able to express just a dynamic movement in his comics that I think translated and just kids loved it.
Right.
And I think Jack Kirby's art was a huge part of the comic book superhero success of the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Right, I agree.
They wouldn't have rocketed to where they were going into the 70s without Jack Kirby.
I also think he was a fertile mind. I know people that, you know, we've all heard the debate. I mean, Stan Lee, you know, oh, yeah, I invented this and that. And a lot of guys, a lot of historians, a lot of people will say, no, Stan,
Jack
kind
of
did it.
It's easy to say when Kirby isn't next to
even Spider-Man, Jack had a hand in the original
Jack
creation
had a
of Spider-Man.
Hand in everything.
Right?
So, I think if we dug deep, we'd realize that Jack was kind of the...
He's the man.
Oh, well, you know what?
Man.
You know what, then?
The king,
you know,
yeah, as they call him, right?
Politically correct, then Stan shouldn't be saying, oh, I did... Maybe he should just be saying we. You know, like, everything is a collaboration of sorts, right?
No.
Yeah, you're right.
You have your writers, you have your artists, everyone works together.
Hey, Forever People, number 1, is available at your local comic book shop today.
Yeah. All right.
look. Let's get that out of the way right now.
Absolutely. You know what? Now, Walt.
Yo.
Now, Walt. You know, I. You know how I do like to bring up your memories of your past as a child. You know, and you're a Star Trek fan as well.
I am.
Star Trek, especially the Kirk era.
I am.
Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to say anything. What is your favorite Star Trek episode from the Kirk era?
I don't know what book you're holding.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, but I'm going to say, for me, probably, because I'm a romantic at heart, City on the Edge of Forever. City, has to be.
City on the Edge of Forever, and what book am I holding?
Get out! Yo!
Star Trek, Harlan Ellison's The City on the Edge of Forever.
Let me see that.
You know the original teleplay, as done in comic form.
I'm a pretty impartial third party when it comes to these two numbskulls. That was a legitimate guess. For those who can't see because this is radio,
right?
That was a legitimate guess.
Yeah.
That
this
is amazing. One
of the few times it wasn't staged.
How cool is that?
Wow.
So they've taken the original teleplay
And
they've done it in comic book form. And I'll tell you, it looks great.
Wow.
It's all done in a kind of a painted kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks awesome. I even though I know the story, I already want to see the second issue of it.
Oh,
I love the way it worked out. It's
great, episode.
Great episode.
It had so much weight. It had so much everything
to it.
So much
character and depth.
You know what? Look at the artistry on that. The likenesses are uncanny.
Yeah.
You know what? This is by IDW, and I got to say, you know, I like IDW, but I think they really hit the nail on the head on this one. This one, it's out of the ballpark.
I don't think Trek fans cannot like this.
Yeah.
Ensign Chapel there. She looks just like her.
Yeah, Nurse Chapel.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Great looking
book. Is she the blonde I can't stop looking at?
Yeah.
That is Chapel.
Oh, okay. That's the one?
Yeah.
Pray in the chapel of Nurse Chapel.
I'm not the prey, am I?
You might be. You might be.
Listen, Star Trek, Harlan Ellison's City on the Edge of Forever is available at your local comic book shop today. This is highly recommended.
And that's number one. And you know what? Honestly, it's a great looking book. And check it out. Especially if you're a Star Trek fan or if you're a Harlan Ellison fan, check that book out. It's a really good looking book.
Awesome.
Finally, my last book.
We have more books?
We got one more.
Man.
One more. I want to talk very quickly about this is Turtles in Time, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, IDW, another one by IDW, number one. And this is a interesting book. It's got a kid kind of quality to it.
This is Turtles in Time, right?
Yeah.
It was probably one of my top three video games I ever played as a kid.
Okay.
Turtles in Time. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4 for Super Nintendo was Turtles in Time. And it was like that screen scroller. You can have a buddy play with you. Two of you can play.
Right.
Screen scrolling. It was one of the best video games for Super Nintendo. It was like Maximum Carnage.
A lot
of those arcade style games. And I'm pretty sure they're just trying to translate that into a comic book because it is... If people say, what's your favorite Ninja Turtles game ever, they'll say it's this one.
Did it have dinosaurs in it?
Absolutely. You went back to prehistoric time. You went back to, like, Buccaneer time.
Did
you're on a pirate ship.
Did you meet Fred and Barney back there at all?
Rubble?
Flintstones.
Rubble. No. Anyway, that's what this is. This is a takeoff the video game, which is fantastic because it was hands down one of the best video games. And you know what, Walt? At your store, where you've got tons of vintage video games.
I do.
unless you sold
you
them
do,
all,
believe it or not,
in the past.
That's
day.
Good, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know what? That one actually commands a premium, and I don't think you can keep it on your shelves. I've asked Mark to reserve me one because I want to relive my Super Nintendo days. He hasn't been able to keep one on the shelves.
Wow.
They come in and they go the same day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's that
popular. Wow.
Yeah. That's my two bits.
Anyways, you know what? Great input there, Shecky. I love this book. I like the look of the book. I like the fact that it's based on a video game. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, number one, available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, Don. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number one, Turtles in Time, is just, what, one
You know,
of...
we are, didn't we already go through this?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But there's 100... Maybe even 200-300 brand new comics today at your local comic book shop. And it's my job right now at this point in the radio show to entice the listenership to go down and check the new This Week stand at their local shop.
Yes, please do. And all right, listen. Sorry, I didn't realize you were going to say something.
You know what Walt is? I just figured this out. It's taken me like 13 years of knowing him.
Okay.
You know, in this whole mindless, incoherent session where he just ignores what we've been talking about and then restates the same thing.
Did you notice that?
He's like the John Madden of comics.
It really is.
You know,
he'll color commentator.
And then he just states the obvious. Yeah, and then the same facts that come out, and you just look at him and say, well, thanks, John.
Great idea. Great idea.
John Madden of comics.
Right? I'm glad I can help. That's all I can say.
Let's have a quick musical interlude.
Hey, why don't you pour me a Coke here, pal?
Let's have a quick musical
interlude. I'm going to crack him a soda pop, and in the meantime,
we're going to listen to some music.
Absolutely, and here we go.
Aquaman, swift and powerful monarch of the oceans, with ability to summon and command all creatures of the deep. Aquaman, who with his teenage ally, Aqualad, guards and defends all that lives in the seas against the forces of evil. Aquaman, king of the seven seas.
All right, listen, that was Aquaman, and that was King of the Seven. You know what? Here's a great question. So, you know what? I have to ask you. My sister actually asked me this question
the other day.
My sister. She actually asked me this question.
How's she look?
Easy there, Tiger.
She looks easy?
Oh. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Listen. Okay. So my sister sent me a question the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the TV show Too Close for Comfort and Aquaman have in common?
They're both wet.
I'm not really too sure how a show can be wet.
They do lots of laps.
Yeah. The answer is Too Close for Comfort had Ted Baxter in it,
uh-huh.
who was the creator of Cosmic Cow.
Right.
And Aquaman, that was Ted Baxter
of course,
as the,
yeah, the voice.
Voiceover
yes.
for the show right now.
Right, okay.
So, you know, if you had given it a half a second of thought, instead
of
just
first
of
all,
Too
Close
me,
for Comfort is a little bit past my time.
It's not past your time because I watched it when I was a kid.
No, I meant before. After, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I'm trying
he
to say.
He meant he doesn't. Right. Give old. Two
hoots. He means he doesn't.
I
care
never
about
watched
it.
Too Close for
okay,
Comfort.
Okay, fair right. enough. Okay. All right. All listen. Right. Listen, let's get to some industry news.
Yeah, let's get to a sponsor. Hey, let's somebody pay us for this.
All right.
This road show.
Yeah. Industry news part uno, brought to you by Aquaman, king of the seahorses, savior of all starfish, and friend to all Occupy.
Occupy.
Occupy. Hey, I have to remind everybody that we're on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio.
We are.
Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Because of us.
Absolutely because of us. And we're at comicbookdaily.com. And GetToPointRadio.com.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. All right.
Listen, we got to talk about. What do you want to talk about? We should talk about Aquaman.
Oh, why not?
All right. Do you want me?
Go ahead.
Allow me.
Yeah.
So, Jason Momoa.
Go ahead.
No, after you. No, please. After you.
Oh, indubitably.
Oh,
I insist.
One of you.
Oh,
one of
please.
You.
Oh,
please, you go right ahead.
Yeah, you go right ahead.
No, first.
I insist.
Listen, someone talk about
somebody
topics.
Shoot those chipmunks?
Chipmunks, squirrels,
yeah, oh
chipmunks.
Goodness.
Listen, Jason Momoa, who played Conan the Barbarian in the unfortunate version of the recent version of Conan.
That was terrible, by the way.
He also played Khal Drogo as one of the Dothrakis.
Is he a Superman? Khal?
No, he was one of the Dothrakis from the TV show Game of Thrones, or as my wife likes to call them, the Dos Equis.
Dos Equis?
Dos Equis.
Yeah. I feel like they drank and pillaged a lot.
Yeah.
That's my favorite commercials of all time, though, the Dos Equis guy.
Great.
The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
He goes, what's the one where he goes about the wingman? He goes, you know, hey, how do you use your wingman? And he goes, I don't know what that is. Yeah,
he doesn't need one.
Homie don't need one, yeah. Right.
Listen, Jason Momoa, so we know who this guy is. Apparently he's now going to take on the role of Aquaman in a series of Warner Brothers movies based on DC Comics.
Hold on. He is a tall, like he looks
he
like Conan.
He is Conan, yes.
He is Conan.
No, he's not Conan. I'm sorry. Hey,
okay.
Hey,
no.
Let's
okay.
go.
Second
hey,
to Arnold.
Ho. Right, okay.
Second to Arnold.
Arnold
okay.
is Conan.
Walt.
This guy is
we
like...
We completely agree about that.
Okay, all right.
But
sorry.
If there were a second in command Conan,
mm-hmm.
you know, like his son. This
Frank
is Conan's
Zane.
Son right here. Anyway,
son of Conan.
Son of Conan.
Yes.
What is good in life?
What is good
Cole,
in life?
Cole, son of Conan.
Cole wasn't son of Conan,
I know,
was he?
I just made that up. Leave me alone.
You know what? Okay. Do you know anything about comics?
No.
Hey,
Focus. Pretty obvious right now, isn't it?
Focus. Okay.
How do you think I built this empire around us here?
You gonna, you gonna give me a second here?
Sorry, Shecky.
So,
sorry. Didn't mean
to rain on your parade there, Shecky. I forgot it was your show.
Yeah.
It's not even about... It's no one's show. No one pays anyone here, so what does it matter?
No, you get all the fan mail. Hey.
Yeah, know, that's true.
No, you get all the fan mail.
Yeah, I get all the scented perfume letters that come in. Yeah. Usually from guys.
Keep sending those, Karen.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Anyway. Go ahead, Shecky.
So, is he what you... Because, Chris, you've seen... I know you watch Game of Thrones like I do.
Yes, yes.
Is he what you would envision for an Aquaman?
Not even close.
Isn't Aquaman a blonde... He's almost like a Nazi. He's a sea Nazi.
Okay,
You know who would be a good Aquaman?
Who?
Jim Phelps. The kid that was a swimmer...
What's his name? Michael Phelps?
Michael Phelps, sorry.
Perfect. Jim Phelps.
Michael Phelps. Even better. Sounds better. Mike Phelps. Because
Mikey Phelps.
Oh, Mike. He looks like a swimmer.
You're right. Can cut through a wave.
Yeah. He's someone lean and lanky. Yeah.
No, this guy's lean and tall and, muscular.
He's too buff for Aquaman.
A little bit. Yeah. Like, he's not supposed to be like a chiseled Conan.
No.
And he... Is he like a brunette? Like, is he a dark?
He is. No, he's blonde and he's fair skinned.
Okay, so I mean, I guess
who's
just
blonde and fair? Aquaman, right? Yeah.
So
okay,
just
but
choosing...
in today's globalization, right? It's I think having like a how can I say this? A citizen of Oceania,
right?
And Oceania, the Oceania part of the world for our listenership is kind of north and east of Australia. That includes the Polynesian Islands.
Right.
And
so technically
the Samoans,
he could be, yes.
And this guy's a Samoan.
Chris,
so he's actually a good pick.
Yeah.
I don't care about political correctness. All I'm saying is likeliness to the comic book of his origin. Mm-hmm. He does not at all resemble
that
character.
You're absolutely right.
You're right.
It doesn't...
And Shecky makes a good point.
It does?
Well, yeah, because you know what? If they can get a Batman to look like Batman in the comics, and if they can get Superman to look like Superman in the comics, why can't they get an Aquaman to look like Aquaman, who's going to be the Aquaman you relate
to as the person you read in comics?
Okay, here's a quick question. I mentioned it earlier tonight, Walter. Trivia for you. What is Aquaman's alter ego's name?
Baxterson.
Yeah. The name is Arthur Curry.
McCracken.
Arthur McCracken. Yeah. Bill McCracken. Arthur Curry is his real name.
Curry.
I just thought you might know that.
Can you continue with the story, the bit?
Like the...
The bit. Oh, sure.
Hold on. Apparently
we're not funny, so we have to actually read the news.
Well, I just feel like we should actually talk about why we brought him up. Otherwise, we're just picking apart this one poor guy.
On to our next segment.
Okay. Okay. So,
okay.
Chris.
Go ahead. Okay. So, apparently...
Fill me in.
I don't ever want to hear that again. Okay. Look, Jason Momoa is going to be in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, Zack Snyder is currently preparing for on May 2016. And apparently he's going to have a much larger role in the next Justice League movie, which is called Dawn of Justice, which is slated for May 2017. And,
perfect.
So you know what? So he's gonna have a small role in the first one, and then he's going to have a much larger role in the next one.
I find that interesting. It really is shaping up to be the Dawn of Justice League.
It is.
People
it is.
Thought
right.
that the name gave it away, but I mean, Batman, Superman, it's all about justice, so no one was really sure. But now Aquaman's confirmed.
Me being the Overstreet Price Guide advisor, the guy that knows old comic books.
Yes.
Now I am now advising everybody to buy. Chris, now this is really hard. This is really hard. It is harder than it was in the Resistance.
Okay.
Okay.
I know what you're going to ask me.
When did Aquaman first appear?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
It's just tough. Yeah, don't take too long.
Brave and the Bold.
No. Oh. More Fun.
Oh, More Fun. That's right.
In the Golden Age of DC Comics, number 73.
Right.
So everybody.
This is a great, great point. We're gonna talk about older comics later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so listen, you know, would you say of the major DC characters that Aquaman is probably, if you wanted to invest in one of them, Aquaman is probably
Flash and Aquaman are the two right now.
Okay.
Flash and Aquaman, because you can't invest in Batman.
It's too expensive.
You can't invest in Superman. Too expensive.
Much, yeah.
Green Lantern is overvalued.
Yeah.
But Flash and Aquaman,
and you have to look at Marvel. Marvel's tapped the pool on so many of their characters already. All their big A-listers are pretty much gone already.
Yeah.
All you really have to look for is to try and sneak a DC B or C lister.
Yeah.
I would
who
think
might be involved.
Aquaman's
in
good. Flash is good right now.
Yeah,
I like those.
I would think Aquaman. You know, has Aquaman ever been on your? You have that little article thing
undervalued,
that you do,
spotlight.
Undervalued spotlight.
Why are you going to put me in a spot like that, Chris?
Well, because it's
because you got a spotlight on you.
That's what I do.
Yeah, he has not, but
he should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know that Aquaman.
Next issue. Next.
All right. There was a TV show that was made like 4 years ago.
He may have. I think I did an Morphin 73, actually.
You know what? I'm sure you're just saying that now.
I made it up, totally.
Okay. But no, Shecky, you're right. He was. There was an Aquaman TV show that they were going to try to do. It didn't last.
Was
didn't
it for DC or something?
It was
like
a pilot.
That?
It was meant to be done.
WB.
WB.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It was kind of like with their end of Smallville days. I don't think it panned out. It might have had a season or half
it had
a season.
Pilot.
Yeah.
I think it had a pilot.
Yeah. It didn't look good.
Look, we got to. Got to keep on going here. We got lots to talk about.
We're
halfway done the show.
I have to interject real quickly, and I want to give a shout out to the girls at something porn. What's it called?
What?
There's a lot of something porns out there.
About?
I don't know.
No.
Pop porn.
Pop porn. The other podcast on Comic Book Daily. See, guys, we are a podcast on comicbookdaily.com. We have competition from pop porn.
I would think that the owner.
Lee Hart.
Yeah.
And Rachel Ritchie out of Toronto. They have a great podcast.
Well,
hold on. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Okay. And they. I just want to say I'm keeping score, kind of, and they're getting tons of comments lately. Guys, we're not getting any comments, except for a few fans that have commented.
Yep, yep.
And so we encourage our listeners to keep our morale up.
Do we have listeners?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
To keep our morale up to comment on the show. I mean, we love to hear
listeners
how terrible
need to become speakers.
Yes.
And when they start speaking, we will rebuttal and say, no, we know more than you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're talking about, Jack.
You don't know anything, yeah.
So, like, I don't want to turn into a bitterman here and say that the girls are running away with the ratings.
Yeah.
It's like ratings week. All they have to do.
Sweeps week.
Yeah, sweeps week.
Well,
yeah.
I think what we need to do is we need to have like a functioning like a mixer with them.
With lots
of drinks to feel them out.
Yeah.
And feel them out.
You want to feel them out, do you?
Feel out their assets and their skills. Their skills. We need to mix and intermingle a little bit.
Look, we have a great show.
We do.
And
we don't need to use the word porn in our show.
Exactly.
To sell it.
That's except when we keep saying porn to reference their show.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
How's that? Does that help them or us? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
We need to talk about comics. We need to bring it back to the people.
I think
bring
we need to talk about a little bit of licensing. We need to get into the technical producer end.
Look, sure.
Let's talk about some money.
Nice segue there, Shaggy.
Walt, licensing revenues. We need to talk about that. I know. Okay, so if you're tuning into our show about comic books and comic book culture, you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't really need to know about licensing and revenues.
What do I need to know
what
about
do I need
licensing
about money?
For?
But here's
what do I know from licensing?
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Licensing revenues in the United States and Canada grew 3%. This is, I feel like we're on Wall Street here right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grew 3%.
What's the guy on that? Mad Money?
Mad Money.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Licensing grew 3%. Booyah!
In 2013. Now, why do we care about this? The Walt Disney Company, which has the luxury of licensing products based on their movies and TV shows, they are the clear winner.
They're the king of the hill.
They roughly made global sales from licensed merchandise that recorded roughly $40 billion. That's with a B.
B.
$40 billion in 2013.
Wow.
And that is because they own Disney, Marvel, Pixar, and Lucasfilm.
Star Wars.
So, so you're talking about Disney, all the Mickey Mouse. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Marvel, all the Marvel merchandise and
all
everything.
Of them. Yep.
Pixar and Lucasfilm, all the Star Wars stuff, right? So it's a huge amount of money,
wow.
Huge amount of merchandise going on. They license products in 137 different categories, although toys do remain the largest revenue generator so far.
It's amazing. I guess what it sheds light on is that comics is the the wellspring.
Yeah,
comics. This show is called Comic Culture, and we promote comic books and the local comic book shop.
Yeah,
all the great things that have come out of comics.
Yeah,
and it's incredible how much money. Generated.
What's really interesting
out of this stuff?
Yeah, what's really interesting is the comic books themselves mm-hmm. aren't necessarily the moneymaker.
And that's the thing. That's what I was trying to say too. Is like comics are secondary.
Yeah,
and comics seems to be. How could I say the? You know,
comic-
maybe, hold on. Let me. I don't want to lose my train of thought, even though it's derailed
it's
a
left
long
the
time
station,
ago.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But, like, the comic book readers, because you and I have talked about this before. What, the number one comic book of the month will sell 100,000 copies.
Right.
Maybe 150, right? And you're talking about 0.1% of the population or whatever.
Right, okay.
So it's a small, small sample size. But they're almost like the litmus tests.
Right.
Right? Well, comic books is where... The exploratory, the R&D pop culture
exactly.
is comic books,
Can I
right?
interrupt for 1 second here?
I guess.
So years ago, back in the day when I used to work at a comic book shop, it was sort of an unsaid phenomenon that Warner Brothers maintained – because Warner Brothers owns DC Comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Warner Brothers – it was sort of this unsaid thing that Warner Brothers kept – DC around because that way they could keep this – they would use DC as a research and development phase.
Exactly.
Because for a long time, it really wasn't making a lot of money compared to the kind of money that they could have been made somewhere else.
Right.
But they kept them around as sort of this research and development phase to try to make more movies and make more plots and all kinds of stories and all kinds of stuff going on. So you know what? You're right. And now comics are like – but you gotta remember, everything changes. So now in society – nerd is cool, geek is cool, everything is kind of cool these days that was sort of geeky and weird back in the day. Individualism is cool. So now all of a sudden all these things that were sort of fringe years ago are pop culture nowadays. So it's just become this great wellspring of information and great wellspring of characters and ideas from, you know, that's been around for 50 years.
Oh,
but
Chris.
Finally people are catching on to it.
Chris, you're preaching to the choir. You know, I mean, comic books is where it's at. Comic books is, it's comics, right?
It's comics.
It's
a great
comics.
Testing ground, though, because you know what? You're testing the waters while also getting maybe hundreds of thousands of people kind of excited and aware of the property. So now all of a sudden you're getting people. You might get 500,000 more people in the theaters when you do the film 2 years later
because they started
reading the first three.
10
comics.
Million more people.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
yeah,
even
yeah.
if it fizzles and mm-hmm. it kind of peters off mm-hmm. after
but
a while.
But look at a show.
At least people now know what it is.
But it's the cheapest way. It's the cheapest way for the the production companies like Marvel, like Warner's, like Disney. It's the cheapest way for them to throw things up at the wall and see what sticks.
And
really.
That's a great point. It's a great point. And you know why? Because even – so let's say a book like Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can go out and print a comic and have 2,000 copies, 5,000 copies. And it's not – compared to what it would cost to make a movie, it's relatively inexpensive. And you can go out and see what people think of that particular comic, and they can you can do all kinds of great things with it, right?
Awesome. All right.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what we said there.
All right, listen, let's basically comics rule. Let's have a quick musical interlude, and we will come back and talk more about comic books.
Well, probably first we're going to talk about how poor Chris's music taste is.
Why you got to be like that?
Play.
For money, then get advice. Ask for advice, get money twice. I'm from the dirty, but that Chico nice. Y'all call it a moment, I call it life.
One day while the light is glowing, I'll be in my castle golden. But until the gates are open, I just wanna feel this moment. Oh, I just wanna feel this moment. Oh,
okay,
Stop.
Okay, go ahead.
Stop.
Go ahead.
That is easily the worst song
that's ever been played.
We have ever played on Comic Culture.
Why in the world did you play that?
Do you want to know what happens here, Chris? Hey, actually, not even you. Want to know what happens to the Comic Culture listening audience when one of your talent tells you, hey, I want the Lego Movie theme to
that's
be a song that plays.
Right. Everything is happy.
If I get my song today, I want it to be the Lego Movie theme. And you know what? If that's what comes up as the top hit on the YouTube search channel titled Lego Movie Theme, I just do it. He doesn't want to hear it first. He doesn't ask to hear it first. He just says, play the Lego Movie theme.
Wow.
And that's what came up, and that's what you got.
Wow, Chris. Good pick, buddy.
Yeah, it was solid.
You know what? I would like to say that Marty knew what I wanted, and that was not what I wanted.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Chris, let's talk about, guys, let's bring this back. Let's talk about...
beep, 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 beep. What are we talking about?
Comic books in May.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Are we talking about more statistics?
Well, not stats. I want to talk about, let's talk about stats. So in May... But you and I, like, what we do is we take a measure. We take a pulse. We take a health test. We do a – what's the thing where you go to the doctor and he sticks a finger – what's that called?
Proctology exam.
Yeah. We take a proctology exam of the comic
book industry.
I call that a Friday night.
Yeah.
Oh! Hey-o. Whatever floats your boat.
And May – What I read out of the stats coming out of the industry is that comics are holding firm. We're down 1% in comics. We're up 1% in graphic novels.
Right.
So
no real change.
No real change, and which is a good thing.
Now, one of the things I do want to mention here is in these stats that you gave me here, what I always find interesting is who's ruling the roost, right?
Who is ruling the roost?
So in the top three categories. We got Original Sin, Amazing Spider-Man number 2, Amazing Spider-Man number 1.1.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all Marvels.
Yeah.
But then we've got Batman and Forever Evil, which are DC, and then we've got Original Sin again, then we've got Batman and Justice League, Walking Dead, Future's End, and then Batman. We've got 5 DC titles, 4 Marvel titles,
right,
and one Image title, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always find it interesting to find out who has the most market share, because even though DC actually has more top 10,
mm-hmm,
Marvel's dollar share is 34.31%.
They're dominating that top three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And DC has 30%. You know, so even though it seems like Marvel isn't doing as well, they're doing better in dollar amounts.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
I think when I look at the numbers, and this is the – I don't want to say scary part, but a reflection of the market part is if you look at the top 7 books of the month, there is not – and this is volume, Okay? Right. This is volume.
Right.
Not dollar amount.
Yeah, because
they're all $3.99 or $4.99 books. Of the top 10, this 8, 9, and 10 comics, The Walking Dead, The New 52 Future's End, and The Batman Eternal,
yeah,
are $2.99 comics.
Right.
The rest are $3.99 and $4.99 comics,
yeah,
which tells me, Chris, that fans are not like
they're less
not,
concerned about dollars.
Yeah, they're not price sensitive. They want the stuff.
Yeah,
right. They just want, hey, I gotta have this original sin number one.
Yeah,
yeah. Marvel has spanked $4.99 on it. I hate it, but I'm still gonna buy it. Right.
Yeah.
I gotta have it. And I don't know, like Spider-Man $3.99. The other Spider-Man $3.99. Batman $3.99. Forever Evil.
Yeah.
$4.99.
Yeah.
This, I don't know if is that the industry realizing that people will pay for the newest, latest thing?
Well, okay, so here's what I do like and I don't like. Original Sin, the top four are all above 100,000 comics published each, right? But then there's a couple in the 90s, a couple in the 70s, and then it goes down to the 60,000. Like, it drops pretty quickly
after
that.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And I don't like seeing that. I want to see more DCs and more Marvels in the 70s and the 90s. You know, I don't like gimmicks.
Yeah.
And that's what, unfortunately, it seems like DC and Marvel have related to. Because if we look at these titles, other than Amazing Spider-Man number 2,
mm-hmm,
everything here, and well, sorry, Batman number 31,
well,
everything is a gimmick. Original Sin, gimmick. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I want to say quickly, God bless Batman.
Well,
because Amazing Spider-Man number 2, I still count it as gimmick. You know,
is this new?
Because it's new, right?
Okay.
And the Amazing Spider-Man number 1, the month before, flipping sold 500,000 copies, right? So you're going to get that kind of spillover effect,
but,
right? Where will Amazing Spider-Man number 9 be? That's the question.
Oh,
and the great part is that Batman 31, 32, 33, 34 will consistently be a top 5 comic.
You know what? That's a great question. Great point. Because you know what? Looking at these statistics again, Batman 31 is number 4.
Right.
Justice League number 30 is number 7. Yet the other ones we have are all gimmicky. Like it's Forever Evil. It's a gimmick. Number 7.
But Spider-Man is still a key title. So, I mean, maybe the inflation of the first 2 months goes down now and it rests at about 100,000.
Right.
And then it rests somewhere slightly below Batman. I mean, it's not going to exponentially keep teetering off.
Guys, what we're talking about here is the viability of the monthly comic. And that's the concern I have when I read these figures.
Well, my concern is not for Spidey as a monthly comic. Obviously, that title will hold its own. I don't think it'll keep petering off that much more. Maybe another 5, 10% total. But then it'll sustain. Just underneath Batman.
Okay, but I'm talking about in general. You're right. But in general, the viability of the monthly periodical. Because we're at historic lows.
Yeah.
Right? We're at historic lows for monthly periodicals.
Right.
And we've been told, you know, that they cancel books at 30,000, 40,000sales per month. At what point will they start canceling books at 70,000, 80,000 per month? Because you're getting some top drawer books now in that 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 range.
And you're getting incredibly, as far as I'm aware, expensive artists and writers doing all these things. If you're a top shelf writer artist and you're only selling 50,000 books a month,
you know what's interesting to
me? You must be getting canned pretty soon.
Right.
What's interesting to me is I'm not seeing Wolverine on here. I'm not seeing X-Men on here.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing any of the big so called characters other than. Really, like, we got Batman.
Again, Spider-Man is a gimmick and Batman is legit.
But Spider-Man, Batman, and then that's pretty much it.
And then the other events.
The other events.
An event, right? Like Forever.
Justice League is a whole.
Yeah.
But it's a whole team book, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope June is better. Going into the summer, everyone spends a little bit more money in the summer. You know, we all know that. But let's hope people try out many more comic books at the local comic book shop. And hopefully it's not just gimmicks.
I want to see Thor. I want to see Iron Man.
Yeah.
I want to see Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And I want to see Harley Quinn.
When was the last time Thor was on a top 10?
1969.
Yeah. Well, it might have been in the top 10 when Simonson
was on. Man, Woodstock.
Right.
Look, let's keep on going here.
Let's keep on moving.
What are we? Are we check you out.
Well, you know what? I found an interesting little ditty.
A ditty.
On the interwebs. On the line, as they say. You know what? I'm just going to make this short and sweet. This is in relevance to Carl Drogo there. What's his
Carl
name?
Carl Drogo?
There? Yeah.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, Momoa.
Momoa.
The guy who sells us samosas or whatever.
Yeah, Jason Samosas.
Anyway, so apparently on Sunday was the season finale of Game of Thrones. Chris, you saw it.
Yes, I did.
I watched. I tuned into HBO. Well, you have no idea what we're talking about, so just look away, okay. Go to the bathroom, do whatever you want.
Right. I'll have a Coke.
So apparently, we're talking internet piracy right now.
Okay.
Game of Thrones has legitimately been, for the past 2 years, the highest pirated show.
I believe that.
On the internet. Yep. One, because it's so popular. Yep. Two, because on a specialty channel. It's not like pirating your favorite episode of Big Bang Theory, which is on every cable network.
Yeah,
right?
You have to pay extra for
Home
HBO.
Box
yeah.
Office yeah. is something you have to pay extra monthly.
Right, right.
So they broke more records again.
Which I do, by the way.
Where
yeah.
they had over 190,000 people streaming the exact same file at the exact same time, which
wow.
broke a record for... And it was previously set... By season 3 or 4, sorry. You know what? I wish I had the exact facts in front of me. I read them briefly
Walking
earlier.
Dead.
This was something I read. I had to bring up right now. Season 3, season 4, whatever, season finale
yeah.
had 170-something thousand people
wow.
streaming at the exact same time. This season has broken it. And there's actually a fake. If you go to TheOnion.com, which is a satirical website,
yeah.
which people started thinking was real, because everyone who loves Game of Thrones starts Googling Game of Thrones. And all of a sudden you find this website that has, 4 million hits, and they're saying 5 million people in total have streamed and pirated this show. And they said Sunday night when the show ended, 5 million people got arrested by the FBI who had their doors kicked down.
But they didn't really.
No. Not really. But... included a fake that they got 5-year sentences in jail because that is the pirating offense.
Is it really 5 years?
In the United States, you get 5 years in jail.
If you pirate something.
And so, it's a satirical thing, but it really played up and really made true to everyone's eyes. Man, so many million people pirate this show every week because they don't want to pay for HBO.
Yeah.
Man, how crazy is that? And then HBO went on the record afterwards saying, this is free marketing advertising. A lot of the people who pirate this show... don't actually want to ever pay for this show.
No.
Pay for HBO.
Yeah.
So you know what? When they watch it and they start sharing it on Facebook, the Twitters, the
other
tweets.
Other people will pay.
When they start twatting it and whatever on the websites.
Yeah.
You know what?
What did
it's
you
just
say?
Advertising.
It totally is.
It's
you know
advertising.
What?
And so HBO's okay with it. Warner Brothers, who owns HBO, is okay with it. But yet,
other people aren't.
You still have so many million people... who are watching it illegally.
Well, you know what?
But you know what, though? Well, hold on. Like, when you say... when your marketing involves illegal activity, there's something wrong with that whole picture.
I think they just say...
But you know what I'm saying, though?
Is
hey,
people.
You know, there's a million people stealing from us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For
weird,
stealing
eh?
From us
yeah.
and from breaking the law, because that's helping us in some sort of stupid way.
Yeah.
To me, that I don't know. That sounds wrong.
But you know what? Like, with Game of Thrones, okay, so the first time I saw it, somebody had downloaded it for me, and and they showed it to me, and I thought, this is a pretty good show, right?
Right.
So, of course, I went out and bought the DVD sets afterwards, and I got myself caught up on the whole show. And now, because I love the show, I am now paying HBO. I went to my local cable subscriber.
Me as well. I pay for HBO.
Yeah. Specifically for Game of Thrones.
Wow,
it's that good.
Once it's done, I'm probably going to get rid of HBO.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that good that I'm willing to spend the extra $10 a week or whatever it is, because really it's like it's a movie. It is the quality of the show is phenomenal.
Right.
It's a mini movie every week.
And I don't want to ruin it for you, Walt. But there's lots of naked women.
Wow.
Yeah, you'd like it.
Why haven't you guys told me about this before?
Well, you know, there's gore in it, too. I know you're a little squeamish.
That was just a quick little aside I had to bring up because it had broken records, and it's beyond belief, and it's like Lord of the Rings, but for a specialty TV series.
Yeah.
So who knows where the height of
this goes? It's a great show. Yeah. Listen, we're running out of time here.
Let's do a brief musical interlude. And here we go.
All right, here we go.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing the tabella. Hearts will play, tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Hey, that was an homage.
Homage
to DC's alternate covers this month of the...
The Pinup Girls.
The Pinup
Girls. Yeah, oh, that's nice. That's very nice of you to do that.
You know what? I wanted to remind everybody that DC this month has a second cover. Yeah, bombshell cover.
Yeah.
And you'll certainly fall in love.
You know what? I love these covers. I actually wanted to talk about all these covers again this week, but I talked about it last week, so I couldn't do it.
Dean did the talking for you on that one.
Yeah, you're right. All right, listen, we got to talk about Harrison Ford.
Whoa.
Harrison Ford.
He got hurt.
He got hurt. You know, so here we are. These guys are filming the new Star Wars movie in England.
England.
Star Wars episode.
I say, Harrison,
Holly
Olding,
England. Danny Champ should be going to England.
He probably
going to Pine Pine Street or whatever it's called.
I guarantee you he was there. I say, Harrison, old man.
Okay.
Are you all right then, chap?
So, Harrison Ford, injured. Injured.
He broke his ankle, basically.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
Here's the thing.
Ford suffered a broken ankle when a hydraulic door on the mock-up Millennium Falcon fell on his leg.
Shecky, I hate when that happens.
You know what?
I hate it.
Doesn't that always happen
to
you?
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
I feel it. I understand.
No. So poor Harrison Ford is going to be laid up for 6 to 8 weeks.
So how does this affect, Chris? How does this affect the delivery of Star Wars to fans
in the tight schedule.
Great question. Apparently, J.J. Abrams and the crew of Star Wars Episode 7 believe there is still enough time to quote-unquote rejigger the shooting schedule around Ford's injury and still be able to make the film.
Well, that's good. That's
December
good.
They, 18th, yeah. 2015.
They can shoot around
debut.
His scenes.
Yeah.
They can
yeah.
shoot around
oh,
his
scenes.
Or they can have a stand-in. Cut! All right, Flintstone, you're in!
Hey, you know how much fake boulders cost.
Yes. They can use stuntmen. They can use things.
You know, they got. You know what?
Here's the heck? You know, well, it's not like what the guys. How old is
Harrison Ford?
80?
90?
60?
You know what they should do? Here's what they should do.
It's not like he's jumping over cliffs.
You know what they should do?
Here's the thing.
They should take old episodes of Star Wars and, you know, whatever, Air Force One or something.
Yeah.
Like that. And just you know, superimpose
Fugitive.
His old face
different,
on
different
that.
Harrison Fords.
Yeah.
Right.
With different gray hair amounts.
Exactly.
And different haircuts.
No, but this is where they can use their computer technology.
Them there.
Yeah, them
there. And they can, like, put, like, old faces on the
get
young
him to
body.
Dye his hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, no, but like, they can, like, you know.
Chris.
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, exactly.
Jack Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can we just move
beyond
Presumed
this? Innocent.
Yeah. No. Well, listen. Star Wars. Thank you. Star Wars. This is very important. The date of release of the movie. You're a Star Wars fan.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Never mind characters. Okay. Never mind characters within the film. But actors in the film.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the same. I'm asking you, who's the most important? Is it Harrison Ford? Is it Han Solo? Is it like,
well,
like, you know what I mean? Like,
from,
like
from
if,
a star,
if
like
one guy went down.
From a spectacle, yes, absolutely.
Is it Harrison
no.
Ford?
Oh,
really?
No.
From a spectacle
Stop.
Standpoint?
Come on.
Popularity?
Do you even know anything about Star
yeah,
Wars?
It's popularity? Chewbacca.
It's, how does he talk? What was that?
Those
sorry?
Are the worst Chewbacca impersonations
no,
ever.
No, I think it was the best.
Give
it,
listen,
I can't.
Listen,
I can't.
Listen.
No, who is it?
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker,
Luke
thank
Skywalker
you.
Is,
yeah.
is
no,
number,
no,
is
no, it's Han.
Oh, you don't know yeah. anything about Star Wars.
You don't know listen, anything about modern
listen,
agriculture.
If you knew anything about Star Wars, you would say in episode 4, you could have any idiot silly body playing the I'm innocent, I don't know what's happening. Obi-Wan,
no.
save me. You
no.
need a dashing Rip-Rock Han Solo.
Rip-Rock.
Running
Rip-Rock.
Through
Dash.
The fields, dodging laser beams.
I'm pretty sure Han Solo never ran through any field.
In
have
my
you,
dreams,
have
he did.
You even seen the movie? Do you have
no,
even seen
that
Star Wars?
That was a Gladiator.
Yeah. Now, Russell.
Ever watch Gladiator movies, Billy?
Man, I love Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe is a great actor, by the way. Listen. I love Star Wars, of course. I'm just saying that...
Is this going to affect...
No, it's okay. All good.
Ratings?
I have to ask you, Chris, because you know this stuff. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I have to ask you, this is not going to affect the release?
It
this
will
is not
going
to affect the quality?
No.
This
no,
is not going to
no,
affect
no,
anything,
no, no.
right?
No.
We're
you
okay,
what?
Right?
We're okay.
All right.
Carrie Fisher is still going to love Han Solo, whether it's whether Harrison Ford has a broken ankle or not.
Right.
Or whether yeah. he's a scruffy nerf herder or not.
Or yeah. not. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know what? We got to continue on here. Look, we have like 3 minutes left here. Do you want to talk about Simon Pegg or Doctor Who?
A quick shout out to Simon Pegg. So he went online and said, Simon Pegg is the actor that's playing the Ant-Man.
No, you're wrong, wrong,
nothing
wrong.
At all. No.
Simon Pegg is an actor who has worked with
Edgar
Wright.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm
directed,
sorry.
He directed
Shaun
of the Dead. Shaun
of the Dead
yeah.
and right. A couple of other movies.
I got
movies.
It totally wrong.
Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Right. And Edgar Wright got replaced on Ant-Man because Edgar Wright didn't want to bend to his directorial vision.
But so Simon Pegg goes online and says, Hall, you know what? This is terrible.
He didn't say those words.
Yeah,
why
did.
Those are his exact words.
I'm very disappointed. He expressed his disappointment at Marvel Studios' removal of Edgar Wright.
Okay, hold
so
on.
So what you don't do in a situation like this, you don't derail even more something that has been derailed, is my point. So you don't go online after something like this has happened, Wright has been removed,
okay.
A new guy has come on. You don't go and undermine and fuel to the fire.
Well,
hold on.
Oh,
and say, hey, this is terrible what they've done. No, you say, hey, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
No.
You
know,
that's all I'm trying to say.
Let me just say,
okay.
Wright is a personal friend of his. Who's
so what?
Worked on films with him. So
yeah.
No, you got to look at the words he says. I think it's a terrible shame. You know, I get perhaps why it's happened. Maybe they want a particular thing in line with a particular other thing.
Yeah.
But if you hire a director who has a particular vision, you've got to expect him or her
sure.
to make such and such a film.
Right.
That's all he's
okay.
saying.
Okay.
No,
like,
but you don't
idea.
Say that. My point is you don't say that. You don't undermine the new status quo.
I would
you
like
do
to,
not do that.
I would like to point out that really, did Simon Pegg really even say anything? Now, hold on a second here. He says, I think it's a terrible shame.
Yes.
Okay,
he should
point.
Not have said
case
that.
Case in point.
Yes.
I get why it's happened.
He should
okay.
not have said that.
Okay. It's debatable.
No.
Hold on. Maybe that's,
uh-huh.
that's questionable.
Right.
Maybe they want a particular thing. That's questionable. In line with another particular thing. That's questionable. But if you hire a director who has a particular vision, that's questionable. You've got to expect him or her to make such and such a film. That's questionable. So what is he really even saying here? You
he
know
should
what?
Have shut his trap.
I think he's
he
trying to play defend his bases on both the studio
saying,
and
you know
Edgar Wright.
He's saying, you know what? I don't like this Marvel guy. I'm friends with Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
are losers.
Right. And he shouldn't have said that.
Exactly.
He should
I agree.
Have under. He's trying to undermine now the new project.
Yeah.
And everything he has said
is nothing.
Is nothing,
really,
and it does not help.
Exactly.
In
it
the
hurts.
Wise words of,
it divides.
Of people we know, superlatives happen.
Listen, here we go.
Hey.
We got 20 seconds left here.
Hey, cum culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer.
Yes.
You can catch us every week at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. Of course, we're broadcast at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. And
Get the Point Radio. Get the Point Radio. Perhaps. Maybe not.
Yeah.
And please, go out and support your local comic book retailer. You know what? Let us know how you're thinking about our show. We do love our show very much. We hope you love it too. People listen to it. They say they like it. But you know what? Let us know what you actually think about it. And go out and support your local comic book retailer. I think I just said that.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.